Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we are examining Paul's concept of gospel ministry in 2 Corinthians 2. The first several verses, and that's a pretty important subject. The Apostle Paul had an incredibly successful ministry, and sometimes we don't understand why. And Paul tells us why. He tells us what was the secret, if you want to call it that, the key to his success as a gospel minister, and he tells us as much what it was not as he tells us what it was. He tells us, if you remember, in the opening verses, and I'm just reviewing now quickly, that he refused to reshape his ministry into the contours of cultural expectations. He would not do that, refused to do that. He refused to get sidetracked into preaching other things than the pure gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. He didn't get sidetracked into politics. He didn't get sidetracked into social issues. Sometimes people have a hard time understanding, why didn't the Apostle Paul denounce slavery? It was so prevalent in his day, and it's such a terrible evil. And I will agree with you in both things. Slavery was very prevalent in the Roman Empire, and it is a terrible evil. And yet Paul didn't preach against slavery. Why? Well, he tells us why here. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the central issue. That's the main thing, and I can't get sidetracked into other issues, as important as they may be, as important as they may seem. Paul refused to get sidetracked by things like this, and he did not measure his success by visible results, but rather by faithfulness to the Word of God and trusting in God to do that inner work that sometimes takes a while to manifest itself, isn't always easily seen in counting numbers and noses and offerings and so forth. And he said, I was determined I was not going to keep remaking my ministry. Oh, here comes along a new trend. We've got to do it this new way now. Oh, here comes another new trend. We've got to quit doing this and start doing this. Oh, there's some new ideas coming down the pike. Let's get rid of the old way of doing things and try these new ideas. No. Just keep on doing the same thing. Preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, to determine to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And telling us this is the way he pursued his ministry, he then tells us in verse 5 why he did it this way. And that's what we started into yesterday, and we'll continue that today. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, May 12, and thank you for the financial support that makes it possible for us to teach God's Word on this station. Why? In verse 4, he says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And here's why. In order that, verse 5, Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If I could give you not what would be a translation, but sort of an understanding of what Paul is saying and apply it to today, he was saying something like this. I didn't want your faith to be an empty profession of faith. I didn't want your Christianity to be a counterfeit Christianity. I didn't want you to make a decision for Christ based upon something other than the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's why I did it this way. I determined that I must pursue my ministry in the way that I did so that there wouldn't really be anything attractive about it except when the Holy Spirit working in your heart made the simple gospel of Jesus Christ attractive. No, that's not attractive to the world. That's not attractive to the natural man. It is not, and it never will be. But that doesn't mean we try to find something that is attractive and bring that in order to gain a hearing, in order to get people to attend church, in order to be successful, to get people to respond. Don't you realize what's happening when you do that? You end up having people believing in something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, I did all of this the way I did it in order that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in, or we might say as a result of, the power of God. In other words, to avoid creating, producing, and encouraging man-centered faith, and instead, by sticking to the simple gospel, cultivating God-centered faith. Faith not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. A faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that is a response of God's powerful grace that has worked in your soul, that you have truly been born from above, resting on God's power alone to accomplish this. Here's the way Alfred Plummer translated this verse. I came to you and preached not a beautiful philosophy, but a crucified Christ. I was a feeble and timid speaker, and it was not my eloquence, but the power of God that converted you. Paul preached an unimpressive, and this is not Plummer now, this is my own thoughts. Paul preached an unimpressive message, delivered in an unimpressive manner, made powerfully effective by the omnipotent Spirit of God. That doesn't make sense, even to many Christians today, even to many gospel preachers today. And the reason for that is because we don't really rely upon the power of God. We don't trust the power of God. We don't really think that the Word of God, utilized by the Spirit of God, is enough. We don't have faith in the sufficiency of Scripture and in the sufficiency of God's work alone. And that shows the weakness in our faith. It shows the errors in our thinking. It shows the man-centeredness in our approach. And we need to jettison all that and get a truly God-centered approach for ministry. I say it again. Paul preached an unimpressive message, delivered in an unimpressive manner, delivered by an unimpressive preacher, but made powerfully effective by the omnipotent Spirit of God. And what Paul was saying was the way that he conducted his ministry is the way that we must conduct our ministry today. It's the great need of the hour to get back to word-centered ministry. Ministry that not only declares the Word of God, but that is totally focused on God's Word, totally dependent upon God's Word, is not looking for any other thing added to the proclamation of God's Word to accomplish results, to accomplish God's work. God's work done in God's way will accomplish God-ordained success. And if we are being faithful to what God has told us to do, and we don't seem to be having success, that's really not our concern, frankly. That's for God to do. And so I say it again. Our ministry must not be about politics. It must not be based upon psychology, trying to figure out how to motivate people psychologically to do what we want them to do, to believe what we want them to believe, to respond and act the way we want them to act. It must not be centered upon current events. It must not be even centered upon personal financial principles. I'm all for that. I'm for understanding biblical financial principles and employing them into your life. And I enjoy listening to maybe the same guy that you possibly hear on the radio who has built a national ministry on financial principles, which are pretty biblical. I don't think he's totally biblical in every way, but he's certainly helping people to understand that if you will avoid debt, have as little debt as possible, and live below your means, not above your means, not even at the very edge of your means, but below your means, and on it goes. He has some very wonderful financial principles, and they'll help people. And I believe in them. And when we're dealing with Scripture, and some of these principles are clearly in those passages of Scripture, I will preach them from time to time too. But I'm preaching Bible. I'm not preaching this financial guru. But I know churches that will have seminars and classes and great emphasis upon putting having this material that has been produced by this man and making that the focus of the ministry for, well, not only for weeks and months on end, but in a sense, forever. I've had preachers tell me that that has been wonderful for our church because it's gotten people out of debt and they give more to the church. And I understand, but listen, that's not the gospel. The great need of the hour is word-centered ministry. Not emotional appeals, but appeal to respond to the Word of God. Not entertainment and showmanship, not a staged production, but simply preaching the Word of God. The simple Word of God proclaimed and explained with the person and work of Christ at the center of everything. That's what Paul did. That's what we need to do. Because the question is, do we want what man can accomplish, even man that is best when he is most impressive, or do we want what God alone can accomplish? Because when God accomplishes it, it is real. It is lasting. It is powerful. But if we want the power of God, we must renounce all reliance upon the wisdom of men. That's not easy for us to do. But that's what Paul is teaching us to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and these verses that we have looked at. That is a biblically modeled ministry. That's the way the biblical model looks like. And that's what we need to be employing, what I need to be employing in my ministry, what you need to be employing in your ministry if you are a minister, what you need to be seeing in your churches, you who are church members. May God help us to do it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.